Hello, and welcome back to the Scooter Life Podcast with Sarah Blessington. So I take you now back to my sweet Jolene, who is just beautiful little peach waiting for me the morning after I got her. And my friend Harriet's partner was kind enough to allow me the use of his tools. So I was ready to start playing with her and getting her set up to take me across the country. I just was so excited. Everything just was working out so well, and I hadn't died, and the scooter was still upright. And as I was kind of moving her around, I started to feel pretty confident that I could feel safe, and that if she were to fall over or whatever, that I would probably be able to pick her up too, which was a great thing to feel confident about. So as I brought her into the back, I took off the rear rack so that I could try to figure out how to attach this top box. And as I'm playing around with it, there are like a couple like pre-drilled holes in the rack itself. And theoretically, or at least this is the idea that has been instilled in me, that if you buy something specifically for something else, it's supposed to just kind of fit together. All the IKEA instructions or building desks or whatever else has happened in my life, that's been the case. This screw fits in this hole and then everything just works out. Well, I guess in the land of motos or just really anything with an engine, that's just apparently not how that works. And that when they say, oh yeah, this will fit this, they also mean that you are going to need a little bit extra work and elbow grease involved. So as I'm trying to line this up, I realize that I'm going to have to drill new holes for this. And part of me just immediately is filled with this fear of like, oh my gosh, maybe I have the wrong thing. Maybe I missed something. Maybe this isn't supposed to fit. And not wanting to get caught up in this emotion of fear and the trepidation of like, oh no, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, okay, no. We're not doing that. We're not spending time here. Next up is let's just switch to the windscreen because that is so much more simple. There are holes that are very specific and it's in metal. So it's not like I'm going to be drilling new holes in metal with my hand drill or I don't know. I wasn't going to get there yet anyway. And so I'm like, okay, trying to figure this out. And I'm trying to look up instructions online. They don't have anything. So I'm just sort of holding the windscreen in front of the scooter, trying to figure out where exactly it's supposed to attach. So I deduce that the little blinkers have very intense screws, and it looks like they align with the holes that are in the windscreen. So I'm like, okay, so this is a place to start. Like, now I'm kind of messing around with things that are important. So I'm trying to be mindful and be patient and careful to not like ruin my scooter when I just get it. And so I start trying to take apart one blinker, and these nuts will not budge on these bolts. And I'm starting to get a little worried of, are these things like not supposed to come off? Did someone put Loctite on this stuff? I just start to get a little bit more worried and start to freak out again. I'm like, okay, let's just go to something basic. How about let's clean the scooter? I figured once I got rolling, I probably wouldn't have another opportunity to clean the scooter, and that this would be a really good way for me to kind of get to know where everything was. So with a couple little rags and a bucket of water, I start just going with some elbow grease and scrubbing down the wheels, scrubbing down the base of the scooter, and just familiarizing myself with any of the little nooks and crannies where the wires would hide or what looked to be like potential damage from just like a couple rocks. But there was nothing major, and it became just really therapeutic and calming for me to just spend that time with Jolene and just kind of low-key talking to her and cooing the sweet nothings of our success for the future. And as I was there, kind of just in the zone, my phone rings. So I answer my phone, like, hi, this is Sarah. And the other person on the other side's like, hi, you called me about a scooter to ride across the country. And I'm like, oh yeah, that guy. I totally had forgotten and I called him. And he's like, did you find it? I'm like, I did. I'm actually sitting with it right now, just cleaning her up. And he's like, what'd you get? I'm like, oh, I got a Sim scooter. It's Taiwanese. And he's like, oh, well, that's interesting. I used to import these scooters into the U.S. back when I worked for this motorcycle company. I'm like, that what? Are you kidding me? And he's like, yeah, totally. I'm like, well, do you have any interest in maybe looking at the scooter and telling me, like, if I did a good job and if this thing is safe? Like, I haven't really known a mechanic or whatever to give it the good old once over, and I would love the opportunity to have someone do that. He's like, oh, that's great. I'd totally be happy to do that for you. Like, do you know the last time it had an oil change or how new the tires are? And I'm like, oh, gosh. Can be so frustrating when you're learning how to do something and getting into something for the first time and not knowing the right questions to ask. And I know that I had Googled these things before buying the scooter, but there are just some things that only come with really spending time with these new trades or these new hobbies. And I'm like, all right, like, I just immediately was so grateful that this guy was going to be my missing link that I didn't even know that I really needed. And he was like, I've got some time today. Do you want to just come over and we can look at some things? I'm like, that would be great. Also, I have this windscreen and top box that I am a little nervous about installing, and I don't know if I have the right tools to be able to do it. Would this be something that I could get some help with as well? And like, I'd be happy to pay you. I just don't really know what I'm doing. And he's like, come on, bring it all. Like, let's see what you got. So as I'm looking at my scooter, I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I supposed to travel with stuff when I don't even have things to like really attach it to? So I tried to like position the little top box in between my legs, and then I'm kind of sitting on the windscreen and have it sort of bungee down, and I just have this flashback to seeing all these other people that drive on roads with unsafe and improperly secured loads. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm one of those people right now. I'm just going to hope that everything is fine. I'm only going on roads that are about like 30, 35 miles per hour. And his place wasn't too far away from where I was. So I was just kind of like, everything will just be fine. So I head over to this guy's house. He's got his whole garage turned into like a legit motorcycle garage with a motorcycle lift. And it was so cool. There were so many tools, just literally everything you could dream of when it came to being able to work on a bike. So we got the scooter up there, and I am still just so in awe of this part of the journey that literally the absolute most perfect person that I ever could have met or been introduced to so happened to be less than like maybe 10, 15 minutes away from where I was staying and knew everything that I needed to know about this scooter. Like, the perfect person. And he just was so kind to boot. Not only did he have this information, but he was ready and able and willing to share it with me. And just that kindness, I am forever in this man's debt. And he spent the time we just took apart the entire scooter. He told me about which wires go where, why they do it, and just kind of going over all these really important things that I didn't know that I needed to know. And we not only, he got to go over the battery, and I told him about my previous issue, and he just gave me some things to also look out and to just better understand that whole system, and so that I would feel confident going forward that I could help problem solve these issues if I was alone somewhere and without cell phone service. And he then also mentioned, he's like, well, but if you do have cell phone service, please call me. Like, I will see what I can do to try to help you for whatever you need. And that also just is the best news that a girl traveling across the country on a scooter could ever hear. So thank you. Thank you, Motorcycle Man. And So in that whole process of taking things apart, putting it back together, we put on a little bit of a bigger horn because the thing that was on there was a joke. He's like, imagine being inside a car, driving however fast, and you know, these cars are pretty well insulated, so imagine trying to hear this little thing. I'm like, oh, that's not good. He's like, but I have this bigger thing. You know, honestly, you might even think about putting on like a foghorn for this thing, because you want to be heard, because you're probably not going to be seen. And I thought back to why my mom was such a fan of Harley Davidson's, and you know, that's kind of their whole shtick, I guess, of being heard. And I was like, well, I'm definitely not being heard on this tiny little scooter. I'll just try to be as visible as possible. And as I'm imagining just me in this bright pink motorcycle jacket and everything else, I'm like, well, it's probably going to be kind of hard to miss me. And then he was also able to tell me about this little thing he had. He's like, well, how do you plan to keep your phone charged as you're riding? Like, I haven't really thought about that yet. And he had this little thing. He's like, well, if you want to buy this off me, you're more than welcome to. I can just get another one. But it would hook, it's a little USB phone charger that connected directly to the battery, and I would be able to charge my phone while I was riding, which I am just, yeah, it was the absolute most perfect thing that I could need. So we installed that, and everything was just perfect, and changed the oil, and the tires seemed to be pretty good. And then so I just start kind of going down the list of, like, what are the parts that I need, what kind of tools do I need to do specific things that other people probably wouldn't be able to have, so that I should carry. And then he ended up building me a specific toolkit for my scooter that would be just kind of the end-all be-all, like, besides changing the rear tire and the CVT belt, that I would have pretty much everything that I needed with me at all times on the road, which is also just the absolute most perfect thing that could have happened. And so we were able to install the top box on the rack, and I guess I was close with the windscreen, just needed a little bit more tenacity and determination to move the bolts off of the blinkers. But we were able to install both of them, and I left there just feeling absolutely alive. And he also gave me this other little tidbit I had brought up. It's like, you know, I was kind of thinking of getting one of those Bluetooth in-ear headset devices. Like, do you have any thoughts about that? He's like, oh man, like, a lot of people talk a lot of smack on that. And you know, he's like, you know, this is the brand that I would particularly go for. And it's a really nice tool to be able to have, because, you know, it sounds like you don't really have the best situation for being able to have your directions out there. And this way you could have your directions spoken to you in your headset and then music. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, 40 some or 4,000 some miles, that's a lot of hours out there on the road with road noise. And being able to have that counteract, that might be kind of nice. So after that whole the meeting and just being able to sort through my scooter, I just felt so confident that I had all of the tools that I needed to be able to do this. And my next step was to figure out how to attach these bags. But I felt just so, like, everything was just so working out so well that this was just going to also work just as well. And as also just the luck of the universe or whatever would have it, I had gotten, or this guy from high school had reached out to me and was like, hey, I live in Oakland. I see you're doing this thing. I'd love to, like, get dinner with you and just catch up and see what's going on and see your scooter. And I'm like, okay, that's awesome. I'm still a little nervous about riding my scooter on the bridge. It's like, no worries, like, I really want to see the scooter, so I'm gonna come out here. And he offered to pick me up, so he came out and saw the scooter. And so we're like, kind of, I'm showing him the little things that I learned and the things that I had installed, and he just is like, has his arms crossed in front of his chest, and he just has this mad scientist look just come over his face. I'm like, what is going on? Anything that I'm saying is not that cool, and I don't really know exactly what I'm talking about. So it was kind of an interesting expression to have. come across him, and I'm like, what is he thinking about? So I eventually ask him, I'm like, what's going on over there? And he's like, well, like, how are you planning on attaching your bags? I'm like, well, I'm just kind of gonna cam strap it. I think if I come up this way through the plastic, I can have it poke out through here. And he stops me and he's like, you know, we could build a rack for your scooter, right? And I'm like, well, like, you mean like drill in through the plastic or something? And at this point, I was still thinking about the resale value, so I didn't want to completely like damage the scooter in an irreparable way. Like, I wanted to keep it as whole as possible, to keep it as easy as possible to resell once I got to North Carolina. And then his eyes just like spark up. He's like, you know, I manage a welding shop, right? I'm like, what? No, I do not know this. It's like, yeah, like we could legitimately go to the shop tonight and make you a rack for your scooter. Like, this is amazing. So in conversation about that, he's like, let's just take off the rack right now. Let's go get a burrito. Let's brainstorm. Let's talk about like all the different things you need this rack to do. And then once folks are done working at the shop, like we can just go in there and make this thing. Like, what? Oh my God, this is the absolute best day in the world. And so we take off the rack, we go get burritos, and just continue to inspire ourselves and talk about old times, new times, the future times, and then go to his workspace, which was the coolest, like, steampunk paradise that I could ever have imagined. It was I mean, the most cool welder paradise I've ever seen. And walking in there, there are just all these really cool different fuel alternatives. I guess I wish I could remember the specifics of what they were creating in there, but I guess the building itself had used to be a place to build installations for Burning Man. So it was kind of like a memorial to all of these incredible creations. Like, there were just like a giant papier-mâché woman hanging from the ceiling and all these really incredible, like, giant metal signs. It was so cool. It was just an incredibly inspiring space. And as we walked around, he's kind of showing me all these different materials and different types of metals and like talking to me about how strong each one was and what kind of welding you would use to be able to make certain things. And it was incredible just watching his mind work. And I mean, I've learned how to do quite a few things in my life, but I think this was like the first time that I've really worked with someone that there was that no, the word no was not an option, that it or that wasn't like the end of the world, that no simply was just a different direction to turn and look for the new answer. And he was so inspired and able to just bring me into that inspiration and taking my ideas into the mix and was just so ready to share his knowledge with me. And watching this thing just be created in front of our eyes, and he wanted to teach me how to weld, so I got to learn how to do some of these things. And even as I didn't do it correctly the first time, because obviously that's just is how learning works, and he was so kind and just helping me feel confident that I could figure out how to do this, and I did, and I was even able to sign my initials in the scooter rack, which I just learning how to weld was not what I was expecting to do that day when I woke up. So we spent 6 hours and we were close, but not quite all the way. And so he offered to have me come back for another session to where we could finish it. And he's like, you know, I'd be happy, like, we're not done yet. We're going to do this and it's going to be perfect. And I was just so inspired at that point. So he took me back and I felt like I had all the pieces to the puzzle. And so my next step now was how I could move from my friend Harriet's place down to my friend, one of my oldest friends down in the city in San Francisco. So initially, my hope was to be able to get everything on my scooter and be able to take it down to her house. However, because I was still in the process of working on this rack, and I thought that I would be able to kind of just again, put everything haphazardly on the scooter, I realized very quickly that that was not an option. So she and I chatted about it, and we agreed that I would just take my scooter and everything down there, and that, as luck would have it, her mom and grandmother live just north in the city, and that they were able to welcome us for the weekend if we wanted to go stay. And that would be an perfect opportunity to just kind of drive by where I was staying with Harriet and pick up that stuff, either on the way there or on the way back. So I figured, why not have this perfect time to go see them, because I wasn't sure the next time I would have an opportunity to be able to see Mimsy or my friend's mom. And back when I was 19, or 18, and moving out to San Francisco, leaving home for the first time and just not really having a clue of what that actually looked like, I came to Mimsy first, her and her husband Frank. And she was an incredibly influential person in my life, and forever she will hold an incredibly important part in my heart. And yeah, she was incredible. So I was a little nervous getting to see her before the scooter thing. I know that I'd had like just the most amazing day of just being able to find everything out that I needed to know about the scooter, get these things installed on the scooter, and then also be able to find my incredible friend who is able to make this rack with me. Like, I had everything I needed, but what I also needed was to be believed in that I could do this and survive by this magical Mimsy. So going up north, I was kind of like having this game plan of, okay, what are the things that I'm going to tell Mimsy? And, you know, it just was kind of like in the back of my mind. And in this, I'm like, all right, well, step one is bringing my scooter down to my friend's house in San Francisco, which means going over the Golden Gate Bridge for a second time. And I'm pretty sure they say that doing the same thing twice and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. And I'm now looking at the scooter and looking at what it will mean to go back over the bridge again. And that, up until that very moment in my life, had been the absolute most scariest thing I had ever done. And I'm about to go do it again? Is that, like, what is that? Is that, am I okay to even think about doing that? Like, I know people do it in cars and motorcycles all the time, but my experience was valid and my fear was valid. And I wasn't really sure how to sit with the validity of the terror, but also the fact that other people were able to do it. And how was I supposed to bridge that gap of actually being able to successfully go over the Golden Gate Bridge and not die? So luckily, the day that I was planning on going to see my friend, it was a beautiful, sunny day. And I just couldn't be more grateful for that being the situation. So I got as packed up as I could, had my stuff for the weekend in this duffel bag that I was able to coordinate and get from one of the people that was following along on one of the motorcycle forums. And it was one of those duffel things that had like a bungee on the bottom of it that would attach to the seat. So I figured that that would be pretty good for me be able to go over 45 miles per hour. And I was pretty sure that was going to be able to stay there. And this was also another opportunity for me to fully test out my my little device that I had to put my phone on so that I could look at directions while I was driving or riding. And it had this little suction cup mount that luckily had just the perfect amount of space on the handlebars. And it had this kind of like articulating gimbal part that it didn't have a way to tighten it, but everything that I looked at online, I mean, they had these things of showing it being attached to a car and the car driving super fast and the thing not moving at all. So I was assuming that the scooter would be no match for this gimbal thing. And Well, so I just put my phone up there, got that all set, got my bag situated, got my outfit on, and it's a million degrees. And of course, it's like school getting out traffic. So as I'm navigating through town, I'm trying to balance the impending doom terror with the thought of like, this is the beginning. I haven't started yet. And there are probably going to be things that are maybe even scarier than this, and how am I going to manage that? Because the amount of fear that I experienced on the Golden Gate Bridge going over the first time was literally the scariest thing that ever happened to me. And so, what does it feel like to be even more scared? And so, all these thoughts are just kind of plaguing around my brain. And I'm trying again to like not pass out. Again, with the heat just being an addition of nonsense that I didn't really want to contend with. But I'm kind of just like, just trying not to think about anything at all. I'm just like, I am currently alive. I am currently on the scooter. I am currently upright. I'm currently going forward. Okay, now I am stopped. Okay, now I'm going forward. Okay, now I'm stopped. It's just like I was trying to distract myself with the basicness of just existence itself. And so I'm in this ridiculous mind space, and as I pass through this intersection, which finally means that I get to go back on this road that was kind of my saving grace the last time that I had ridden over the Golden Gate Bridge, I'm like, okay, like this is gonna be fine. I'm gonna be on this road and it's gonna be great. And as I'm starting to accelerate, I have this moment where I just look over into one of the cars that's in oncoming traffic, and there are these three girls that are about 11, and they're all have these like soccer uniforms on, and all of their faces are pressed up against the window, and all of them are mouthing, "Wow." And it just hit me that they were looking at me, and I was the person that somehow was inspiring them to just. The look of wonderment and question and everything that was held in these giant eyeballs looking back at me in this ridiculous bright pink motorcycle jacket with this scooter and this bag attached to it. Like, I just was able to see myself through their eyes that I was like this. I don't know. I felt like a shining white knight. Upon my steed, riding off into an adventure. And they could see it. And then I realized that that part of me, that 11-year-old girl in me that wanted so desperately to be able to look out and see someone like that. And I was that person. I was officially someone that I had wanted to find in my life. And it was like I immediately powered up, gained another life, and just was ready to take it on. And I went off into this incredible road and got to sing Jolene at the top of my lungs in my helmet. And I was ready for the Golden Gate Bridge. And as I got closer and closer, I was ready for it to just, I don't know, the fog to come or something bad to happen, but it just kept being fine. And I got onto the highway and I went up as pretty much almost completely maxed out on my speed, and I was okay. No one was in my lane, but it was so loud, and I'm trying to be okay with that, but I was okay with that. The wind wasn't that bad, and I was kind of just being able to have more spaciousness of experimenting with what it means to lean into that wind, and the wind was like kind and gentle enough to be consistently coming from one side. So I was able to have a little bit more time with that. And then as I'm getting closer to the bridge, I'm like, okay, well, the wind is going to be there. And luckily, there was this weird monstrosity of a car that was very much so held together with zip ties in the slow lane, and it was going slow. I'm like, well, this is a perfect opportunity. I'm going to hide behind this thing with a safe enough distance so that if anything does fly off of it, that it will hopefully not impale me. But it was, I kind of just was able to experience how to hide in the little wind bubble behind them and go about my way and just be in their safety shield. And as we went onto the bridge, it was okay. Like I could feel the wind coming up through the bridge and gracefully going across the bay and the bridge, but it wasn't begging to rip me from limb to limb. And oh my God, I swear I could have just broken down sobbing full of joy and gratitude at that moment. I'm like, well, I'm not across the bridge yet, and now I need to figure out how to get to my friend's house, because I've got that far. And by that time, I'm like, oh, right, now I need to, like, actually look down at my directions. And I look down, and my phone mount is completely wilted, and my phone is almost completely dislodged from the mount itself. Like, the tiny little screw that's supposed to be screwed in is not screwed in any longer. And I can imagine that maybe just another second of vibration from that, from the bridge, it would have just sent my phone off into the bay below, which would not have been a great part to this day. Luckily, I saw it in time, and then as I got off on this exit, there I came to a stoplight pretty quickly, so I was able to grab my phone, jam it in my pocket, and just be like, okay, I think I know how to get to her place from here. And I mean, I had tried to, like, push it up, and it just, the vibration, especially from, not only from the bridge, but from being stopped, just made the phone mount wilt just right immediately. And the screw was in no way going to hold up to that. So I'm like, well, this is absolutely not an option. I'm definitely going to need to figure out something else, but I will deal with that later. I just now need to get to my friend Alicia's house. So I go through the city, and I'm starting to feel again this confidence of the last time I was there, of like riding on these steeper hills and being able to stop and then accelerate through the being in a really steep stopped position and not fall over. And so I'm kind of getting this confidence up, and I'm like, okay, like I was able to do this incredibly scary thing again, and it was something completely different. And I'm like, I just need to hold on to that experience of thinking that I know that I'm going to experience something that is terrifying, but holding enough space to where it could have a different outcome, where in fact it doesn't always have to be the scariest thing, and that maybe it would just be okay. So with that, showing up to my friend Alicia's house, I drove by her house once, and she's on this super steep hill, and I'm like, well, there's just no way I'm gonna park the scooter on that. So I drove around a little bit trying to find another parking space that was open, that had a pole next to it that I could actually lock up my scooter to. And I'm sure there was someone that happened to be looking out their window at that particular moment, and I'm sure that they were just laughing, trying to watch me kind of maneuver the scooter around where it was at an angle where I could get it to actually have enough weight to be on the kickstand, because I had also tried to get it up on the center stand, but it's on an angle. I'm like, well, then maybe it'll, like, launching it up onto the center stand will just make the whole thing fall over. How are you supposed to do this? And I'm trying to go through my mental catalog of the motorcycle instruction manual I had read while I was practicing for my permit and for my motorcycle license test, and all the little tips and tricks that they had said on these pages meant nothing at this point. Now I actually have the scooter. I'm like, that is not real. It is, they are not talking about what I have. Luckily, I was able to get it situated just enough, close enough to this pole, that I'm actually able to run the lock through the tire and get it attached to this. So at least it would take 2 seconds to steal the scooter as opposed to just one. And I'm like, well, hopefully that's enough of a deterrent for whoever's out there running amok. And able to go hang out with my friend and get some tasty ramen and get ready for the trip up to see, you know, the next step. And having my scooter, like, safely at our house, and we were able to eventually move it into her garage before we went up north to see Mimsy. And so that just made me feel a little bit better than leaving it out there. And luckily her garage is flat, so that was good. So we end up heading up to her to her grandparents' house, and up there, like as soon as we get there, I'm so nervous, and again, like trying to run through my brain of, okay, what are the things I'm supposed to tell Mimsy? Maybe I can tell her about this bridge story, something that she will actually have the confidence in me that I need to have in myself, but I'm trying and struggling to find what that is. And getting there, she walks up to me and puts her hands on my shoulders, looks me dead in the eyes. It's like, so, Scooter, hey? I'm like, yep. She's like, all right. That was that. I guess just she needed to see me, and that was enough. She knew and she trusted that I had the confidence that I was going to do this and I was not going to die. And it was the best, most reassuring 5 seconds of my life. And from then on, we just had an incredible weekend and incredible food. She was quite the chef. And there was another point through that weekend that I was able to spend some time with my friend's mom and being able to share with her some of the fears, which I had been trying mostly to keep to myself because I was afraid of if I tell people what I'm actually afraid of and how scared I actually am, that they'll then tell me to not do this and that I might listen to them. So just kind of having this practice of like, I can be afraid, but I can also do this anyway. And so sharing with her a little bit about it and just kind of the worry of, do I have enough tools in my tool belt to be able to successfully navigate these situations that might come up? And she tells me, she's like, you know, like the experience itself is going to be your teacher. And that's the important part. I'm like, okay, so this fake it till you make it thing is gonna do it. It's gonna get me there. And so I left that weekend with these three generations of incredible women all in my corner, and each with one of them offering to me a different opportunity to trust in myself and my adventurous soul, and that I would be able to succeed in doing this. And heading back to the city, swung by and picked up my belongings and got to say goodbye to Harriet and, you know, just the like, okay, well, I'll see you when I see you. And I'm guessing the next time will be after I've ridden this scooter across the country. And from there, heading back to Alicia's place, it's like, okay, like I've got one more session of finishing this scooter rack, and then it's go time, 'cause that was gonna be my last step, my last excuse for staying in the city. I had gotten my emotional support. I no longer had any excuse. I was about to have everything I needed to go forward. And with that, I'll leave y'all, and next time I'll talk about finishing up the scooter rack and trying to get that scooter ready to go for the adventure. Thanks, y'all, for listening, and until next time.